If you asked most priests where some of the most profound religious experiences that they've had in their priesthood, I think without a doubt, many would immediately respond with reconciliation and the sacrament of confession, where suddenly an individual comes in, bears their soul, opening themselves and naming their imperfections, naming their sinfulness before God, and then receiving absolution, forgiveness, mercy. The love of God filters in through that person. And many times, although oftentimes sacrament of reconciliation can be routine, but there are those moments where the very depth of one's soul is laid bare before God, and God reaches out and embraces that soul through the sacrament. That's why in many retreats, obviously one aspect of the retreat is reconciliation. What they do is they sometimes will bring all the retreatants into a room and they will have a reconciliation service and individual confessions. When I was in charge, I was dean of formations at the minor seminary. We had a retreat for our seniors, typical in most high schools. And part of the retreat experience was a reconciliation service with individual confessions. We finished the individual confessions in the chapel, and everyone was kind of gathered. And a closing prayer was going to be offered by one of our faculty members. So one of our faculty members offered the closing prayer, an idea of the love and the mercy of God and the sense of peace that God brings to individuals' lives. He decided to extend that further. And he said, if this is truly going to be a reconciliation service, and I believe we are looking at trying to formulate ourselves in terms of our theme for our senior year, he says, we have to do so with the peace of Christ in our hearts. He said, I can tell you, there's a senior here in our midst that I haven't had very good relationships with. In fact, it's been strained, to say the least. And in the spirit of reconciliation, I'm going to call out his name, ask him to come forward and receive my hand in peace, the peace of Christ. Well, there was a hush over basically a community. None of this was planned. It was all out of that spirit of reconciliation, and he called the name out. And that student looked up, and now the choice was his. Respond to the peace of Christ, which was being offered by someone whose relationship was not a good one, or turn your back on the same power of that peace. He got up. He moved forward, clasped the hand of the teacher, and responded with the sign of peace back to him. What happened was he turned around and he named someone. And that person came forward and received his peace. And soon the floodgates of peace was open. And individuals from that entire community came forward offering the sign of peace. It was a dramatic moment, touched so much by the students that the one young man who had been playing, who had a guitar and was playing, started spontaneously playing Peace is Flowing Like a River. And soon every one of those members within that congregation was standing there at the altar, reaching out and offering a sign of peace to each other. Powerful, powerful aspect of peace. Peace and forgiveness are tied intrinsically together. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. It's a legacy bequeathed to us by Blessed John Paul II. Saint Faustina wrote in her diary that Jesus said to her, Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. For my mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world. I let my sacred heart be pierced with the lance, thus opening wide the source of mercy for you. Come then with trust to draw graces from this fountain. In appearing to the apostles on the first day of the week, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, oftentimes we just take that as a greeting, as just a formality. But what Jesus was saying, and what those of that community would have understood, is when he was saying, "Peace be with you," he was saying every good aspect that God wishes for you as a human being should be upon you. The totality of your whole existence in understanding that relationship that's embraced by the love of God. The tone Jesus sets for his disciples is they should never fear him. Never. These were men, realize, who abandoned him in the darkest moments of his life. These were his friends. They professed their love for him. Yet when he was being scourged and crucified, they were nowhere to be found. Even confronted with this reality, our Lord wants them to know that there is nothing that can separate us from the love and mercy of God. Instead of coming back to them as an angel of revenge, he comes as the angel of peace. God's love is greater than our sinfulness and our inadequacies. All we need to do is trust him, to take the first step, to respond to the peace that he offers, to seek his mercy, and to share his mercy with others. And that's the key. Once we have understood that we have been touched by the reconciling act of Jesus, and there is the perfect example of Jesus on the cross, of that reconciling love. Once that is offered to us and we receive it, then it is our obligation to reach out to others and to extend his mercy. Once we have experienced his mercy, then we are called to relieve the misery of others. Mother Teresa of Calcutta did God's work for many years ministering to the dying poor. "For them and for me," she once said, "the greatest development of a human life is to die at peace with God." I remember once after we had picked up one man from the street, he said, "I have lived like an animal in the street, but I am going to die like an angel, loved and cared for." And he did. He died like an angel. He was cared for by an instrument of divine mercy. There is no greater peace than knowing the Lord's love and mercy. You know, Thomas was not present. And maybe our Lord set that up in a very particular way, because he wanted to emphasize to the rest of us who would not be present to the resurrected Lord, that the same peace that's offered to those apostles is offered to us. The same extension of forgiveness and mercy that was given to them is offered to us. And so therefore, Thomas, once he encountered the Lord, once he joined the others, knelt down and uttered the profound statement, "My Lord and my God." This is God reaching out to us in the forgiveness through his Son. This is our God who loves us and who offers everything to us. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, as we listen to what the Lord did when he took those apostles and offered them and said to them, Whose sins you shall retain, they shall be retained. Whose sins you shall forgive, they shall be forgiven. And then what did he do? He breathed on them. What is that? That's a reference to creation. What did God do as he hovered over the world in terms of the statement? He breathed his spirit into the world. Jesus was breathing the spirit, God's spirit, into this act of forgiveness, into this act of mercy, into this act of love. And everyone then who embraces this becomes new creations. New creations. I can tell you in that room, when they experienced those seniors, they were new creations. They were made new by that act of reconciliation. Every one of us is offered that newness. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, let us have the courage to confess our sins, relying on his mercy and enjoying his love, and extending his mercy and love and forgiveness to others. Peace be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.